As we continue the focus on what it means to follow Jesus, each one of us need to bring that personal experience that we have had with Jesus Christ into our consciousness. Our relationship with Christ is not a relationship for us to sleep through. It is a relationship of activity, a relationship of doing, being about our Father's business. That's what God has called us to do. Now, preacher, can you explain that to me? Absolutely not. I do know what God has called me to do, but I don't know what He's calling me to do later. I do not understand why Christ would even care anything about me. I don't understand love focused to people who did not love God. Each one of us were saved because Jesus died for the church. Jesus died while we were still in a sinning state. He contacted us. He touched us. And it was through that touch we came under conviction. That's the power of the Holy Spirit touching our heart and saying, there's something wrong in my life. What is that something? And that something ends up not being a something, but a who. And the focus of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that focus for us as Christians separates all religions, period. Because we are not a religion. We are a group. Now, the secular world calls it that, fine. Even a lot of folk in the Baptist hierarchy, that's fine. They say that. Folks, we have a personal relationship. I'm going to heaven because of who I know, personally. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that you and I, when we said yes to Jesus, we became a part of the family of God. Sometimes dysfunctional families. Oftentimes hurt and pain are so great that the question is asked, Father, why have you abandoned me? And we will, if we'll truly listen to our spirit, we'll hear the question that we have asked come straight back to our heart and saying, I never abandoned you, Larry. Why did you abandon me? Did you forget me somewhere along the way? Do you know that even during the times when you forget, and folks, as human beings, we mess up continually. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not. But so often, our life is a mess. And we look at other people hoping that we can find somebody that's more miserable than we are. But what Christ says is, I want you to focus on your heart of all the pain, all the suffering, all the hurt. And Christian, I want you to understand this today. As a Christian, our life experiences, all of us, individual life experiences, are blessed by God. Now, let me say that again. Following Jesus means that our experiences as a Christian are blessed by God. And yet, right now, some will be thinking, I have a lot of experiences in my life that didn't seem like a blessing. Why are you saying now that they're blessings when so much hurt and pain was there? In the first place, listen to this. All, A-L-L, all life experiences always work for our good. One more time. All of our life experiences always work for our good. The good, the bad, the ugly experiences. But let me show you this. The Apostle Paul, in speaking to the church at Rome, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Now, you heard the word of God say that in all things, God works for the good. He works for the good of those who. We're the who's. And every experience we have, I promise you, will work out for the good in our life. We battle everyday experiences, and so often we look at those experiences and we can find no good in those situations at all. I remember in the Marine Corps in Dominican Republic at Santo Domingo, where we were, it was street fighting. You'd have thought a little hoodlum like me would have enjoyed the street fighting. And I've told many of you. But sitting out on a porch from house to house and the tracer rounds coming in from the rebels, and I froze. Folks, I guarantee you I could have not yelled for help. For one thing, there wasn't any voice there. And another thing was, I was petrified. I'm just thankful that I hadn't been turned into a pillar of salt. But I was petrified. A young 18-year-old in the middle of combat, a Marine, and I can't move. You know, Semper Fi, all I wanted. I couldn't even say that. And that lieutenant reached around the doorway and drugged me back into safety. You see, Jesus drags us to safety every time. Now, what good would I see in that situation? I was embarrassed, but I was thankful that I could breathe. And if you've ever been in that situation, you're going, you know, are there any holes there? How many times since then, during my walk in this world, have I witnessed Jesus reaching around and pulling me to cover? Of Jesus reaching out, giving me that strength that I would need to even stand. God says, I want you to focus on who Jesus is, my son, and all of those experiences you have in life. I will turn them for the good. Look for the good in them. How do I find good in the death of my father when I was 6 years old? How do you find good in the hurt you would watch your mother going through in those years? Where's the good in the pain of life? Where's Jesus? Right there, right with me. He never left me. He never forsook me. But why didn't you see him or recognize him? I was busy living. Listen, folks, life has hurt every one of us. Too often we pull away and we're dealing with life. And in that life concept, we're saying, what can I get? And that's a battle. And we're afraid to ask God, afraid that what we're doing is not what he wants us to do. And then if we know that he's wanting us to do something else, and we don't do it, so just don't mention it to God. You and I learn through every experience. Those of you who have children, do you realize what happens when your child becomes a teenager? All the monsters of earth have taken over that child. You love them. You're wanting to do all you can to protect them. And they will say mean things. to you and not mean a one of them. And as they grow a little older, will come back and say, thank you. Thank you for bringing me to church. Thank you for making me go. Thank you for not walking out on me. Parents are not allowed to walk out on their children. And God says life experiences, all of them, always work for our good. Now, if it works for our good individually, now, and I know that Christ is working in me, doesn't that make the family unit stronger and closer? If an individual in the family knows that every, and then God gives us patience to put up with each other. You people, folks, have put up with me for over 20 years in this pulpit. I guarantee that ought to give you sainthood in and of itself. But God says, I want you with one another to fellowship, meaning I want you to feel each other's pain. I want you to share each other's joy. I want you to understand that everything that goes on in your life, I will work for your good and for the good of those that you love. Remember Joseph? Joseph was the one that Jacob, Joseph was the firstborn of Jacob and Rachel. That's the historical part. I'm not going to get into it. But Joseph was special. Jacob knew he was. Rachel, his mother, guaranteed he was. So in Jacob's old age, Joseph is born. And at this time, Joseph knew that God's hand was on him. God gave him dreams, and God allowed him to see this is what's going to happen. One thing about Joseph, again, he had to be Baptist because he was cocky. And he goes before his brothers and says, now boys, listen to me. God has let me see that I'm going to be ruling over you. Well, that really works with brothers, doesn't it? And all of the older brothers and all, I want you to know, one day you will bend the knee down to me. So what happened? Joseph had a special touch. Now, I can assure you that when Joseph's brothers grabbed him and threw him in a deep well, and put blood all over his coat of many colors to take back to Dad to give him a narrative of the wild animals devoured him. And here's their blood of your son to prove it. Now think about that. He's been beaten. But if you got brothers, you've been beaten. And he's been thrown in a well. Left to die. But then the decision comes after he's in that well. Do you really think Joseph was down there saying, thank you, God, for the beating and especially to be thrown in a well to die? He was a human being. He had hurt and he had pain. But God wanted you and I to receive his true message, God's message, for our life, and that is every experience in our life. God says, I will make it work for your good. Trust me. It's hard to trust when you're in the bottom of a well and see no hope. Then the idea comes. Let's pull him out. I'm not going to allow you to... Reuben, I think, was the oldest brother, but not going to allow him to get killed. So he pulls him out and sells him into slavery to go into Egypt. Again, folks, I find no place in Scripture where we hear Joseph saying, thank you, Lord, I'm a slave. Thank you. You know, to be sold as an article That's why your pastor is very, very hard on those who mess with children. And in our generation, child porn and children sold into slavery, that's rampant. Oh, I never heard of that. Well, the reason you haven't heard of it, you don't want to think about it. It's a fact, folks. I had to deal with one who had sold young girls into slavery out of Louisville and sex slave out of Louisville and Cincinnati. The greatest time I ever saw that guy was the day before he died. One of the most vile human beings I'd ever met in the prison system. What good could come out of that? I don't know. See, I don't know how many girls. I don't know how many were hurt. I don't know. So Joseph goes to Egypt as a slave. Pharaoh looks at him and says, I like you. You have some sense. So he had a wife who didn't have any sense. And his wife tried to talk Joseph into being with her. And Joseph said, I will not sin against my God, nor the king. He's always been good to me. So she lied and accused him of rape. And from that point, they throw him in prison. Now, I guarantee you, he was being used by God. But I also guarantee you, from the human standpoint, would you count that as a blessing? That you were imprisoned falsely for rape? And God used that circumstance. And we know that God used Joseph. And later we will find as the king, as he witnessed what all Joseph could do, Joseph was made in Egypt a leader only second from Pharaoh. Only next in line. He was the only one that Joseph had to talk to. And so the brothers come looking for food. They didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph loved them. He was so excited. He was feeding them. They still did not recognize who he was. And they were jubilant and, you know, excited about it. And Joseph finally, out of his great love, reveals who he is to his brothers. Now, I want you to hear what he said. It's in Genesis 50, verse 20. You intended to harm me. He's talking to his brothers. But God intended it for good. Now, as you and I look over that past of Joseph, we saw nothing good in it. But God did. Can you imagine the character, the building that God was doing in Joseph's heart? And Joseph became the one they all knelt before and the one who fed the whole family. He said, bring Dad here. Now think of that. That experience and all those multiple experiences worked for the good of those who love the Lord and are called to his service. Well, preacher, am I called? If you're a Christian, you're called. Not only that, if you're a non-Christian, doesn't mean you're not being called. It means you're not paying attention. I would pay attention if I were you. Number two, the threat of death experiences teach us to trust God. Lord, thank you for that experience of almost being killed. And you put the emphasis on the almost. But God says that even the threat of death, every military individual in the sound of my voice has been in combat, understands. And we also understand that no matter what our mannerisms were during the combat era, we also realize this. Being close to death brings us closer to God. We will cry out to the Lord. And God says, okay, I'm going to teach you something, Larry. Trust me. Trust me. Lord, I can't see you. Trust me. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and I have never, ever met him face to face. But I know his spirit is in my heart. I know his truth is there. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Paul goes on with the church at Corinth. We do not want you to be uninformed, Paul says, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Still quite a bit going on there, huh? We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. You get to the point that, Lord, please let me die. Lord, please let me die. Amid many. And what a great blessing to know that I can never die. I can always live with Christ. But you get trapped in a body that's broken to the point to where your life to you seems like it's useless. I can tell you this. When it gets to the right point, God will call you home. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul can look back now and he's saying, look, we were scared. We knew we were going to die. We just knew it. We knew. And yet, we didn't. What God does in our lives has nothing to do with what you think he should be doing. God does not back off with us because of our foolishness. He wants us to find that peace. And he says, here I am. Joseph got a lot of good training. Apostle Paul got a lot of beatings. Several times. Stone with rocks. In a shipwreck. Snake. Deadly snake biting him. I just don't believe. Well, best I remember, Paul went over and shook the snake off into the fire. I do not know whether or not he jumped up and down and said, thank you, God, for that deadly snake bite. And at that point, now listen to me, the world, those around Paul, they saw the snake had bit him, and you know what they said? He must be an evil man, for God has allowed him to be bitten by the deadly snake. And they're sitting there waiting for him to die. And Paul didn't die. So what did they do then? They turned around and wanted to kneel before him and worship him. He must be a man of God. First of all, he was not of God because he was bit by the poisonous snake. Next, why, we shall bow before him. And Paul tells him, get up. I serve Jesus Christ. He is the only Lord you should ever kneel to. And the last, dealing with our life and the experiences that God truly does bless. Number three, suffering experiences. Now, I'm talking about suffering in life, in the journey of life. Suffering in your vocation. Suffering looking for the path that God has for you. The hurt and the pain that you go through in this life. Suffering experiences produce perseverance, character, and hope. If you were going to go into any battle, who would you want to go in with? Someone that's been through many of them? Or would you want to go into a battle with someone who wants to put you out first? You want experience. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Our Savior has experienced every pain, ache that you will ever have. Our Savior has experienced the power of evil against him so intense that it was as though drops of blood was coming from him. And God watched. God the Father, who said, I love you, looking at his Son, looking at you, looking at me. And he says, I love you. I love you so much that God backed away from his only begotten Son so you and I could find peace. And we barely find time in our busy schedule to even come to God's house and worship and thank him for what he's done. We're just too busy in this world. Let me tell you something, folks. When you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Slow it down. Let me tell some of you fathers, some of you mothers, also this. If you are tied up so much in time, your time, to go out and make more money and make more money and do all of this, if you're that tied up that I'm doing it for my family, I'm doing it for my family, well, when you get whatever wealth you think that you're having and you get to that point, you're going to turn around, your family's gone. And you missed an experience of a child growing up. You missed the laughter. We have a coffee table in our home. Had a young son and certainly a young grandson. And over the years, on that coffee table, there's scratches. And Faye and I talking, and we're not going to cover up those scratches. Those are fun scratches. Those are times when Thomas the Train was driving under and on top of. You see, the most precious thing to me is you. The most precious purpose for my life is you. And I want to give my life for you because I love you. I care. I care about you. I care about your kids. I care about your life. I care about your hurt. I care about the pain. Isn't that what worship is all about? Loving each other. Our personalities are all different. But God has brought us together as a family. And when he brings us together as a family, he brings us together for a purpose. And that purpose, folks, is each other. Please, it's each other. Care more about those around you than you do yourself. Choose to give more to those you love. Choose to give of yourself. And the greatest gift you'll ever give a child is your time. Your time. They don't care whether you have money or not. They're tickled to death to crawl in a cardboard box and cut doors in it, just as long as you're there with them. And to have a picnic right in the middle of the living room floor and clean it up before mom gets home. You see, that's called pure love. How do we get it? We get it through experience. The experience is with Jesus Christ. The experience is with life. Sometimes the life experiences will harden our heart. And Christ wants us to have a loving heart. Doesn't mean you let anyone walk over you to harm your family. It means you're sorry that they're in the state they're in. But you have an obligation given to you by God Almighty to protect your family. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. He didn't just say, "Okay, I will see you later, Larry." He didn't just say to us when we said yes to Him, "When you get to heaven, it'll be a great rejoicing time." Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be a part of your life. I will be there when you're right. I'll be there when you're wrong. I'll be there when you're up, and I'll be there when you're down. I will never leave you, because I love you. I care for you. And I want you to understand my glory," Jesus says. "I want you to know that in my glory, ye will never die. And in my glory, your retirement is with me. And it's a good one. Because I went to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," Jesus says, "I will come again and get you, receive you, so that where I am, you may be also." Why would I sit down and focus on retiring? Why would you and I as Christians retire from the commitment we've made to the Lord? You know, "Lord, I've just been too busy to worship. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, but you know, my time, and one of these days I'll be a multimillionaire and I'll even give some to the church. But I won't give a dime out of a dollar." Think of it. You don't make bargains with God. He sees our brokenness. He sees our hurt. He puts us back together again. And He says, "Larry Pete, I love you. And you're a mess, but you're my mess." That's what love is, folks. That's what the love of God's about. Let's get about the business of caring for one another. Let us be about our Father's business, because it was our Father's business that led us to everlasting life with Him, salvation in the name of Jesus and Him only. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word, for Your love. Help us, Father, that each of us may stand closer with one another. And as we reach out to one another, we always recognize You in the midst. Forgive us for our faults and failures. And help us as we grow in character. For Father, we truly do see Your hope. And we recognize Him as Jesus. Thank You for the gift of life, and thank You, Father, for every experience, all good, bad, and ugly, that You have allowed us to live through, and help us to see the hope in each experience. I ask Your blessing now, Father, upon each one that is here. Touch each heart, unite each family, bring peace to the troubled. Lift up to You, Father, Your children. your young ones, your teenagers, reminding each of us, Father, that you are the Father of all. Forgive us. Help us to love more. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.